What we're talking about is late night and early morning low clouds. With a chance of fall, chance of showers into the afternoon.
Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen. Time to come back and do some serious discussing here with my guest, Eustace Mullins. We here at the French Connection are the toughest interviews in the world. We bring more truth to the radio than anybody, period, bar none. And the fact is this is the real story behind the mess we're in. This is the real culprits. These are the real criminals. And these are the people that are sucking the life's blood out of this planet and trying to enslave and kill us all. And Eustace Mullins has been doing his research for a whole generation. For 50 years, he's been putting together the facts that surround this criminal conspiracy. And I have to applaud his efforts, and I am in many ways picking up the baton from him and fighting the good fight as things heat up. Eustace, I want to go back to you. Are you willing to take a phone call?
Certainly.
We've got a Joe in Detroit. Joe, you're up with us.
I am.
Hello?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I was literally tortured by the U.S. Marshals and the FBI because I spoke up against the corruption of the government in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And the government has robbed me of millions of dollars worth of rare and priceless art, rare books, and inventions that I had done. I invented the PT Cruiser and the Pontiac Transport, and I never got one single dime for any of this. Millions of dollars worth of art, Picasso's, Matisse's, Chagall's. I had one of the largest collections of graphic art that was stolen. And once the other people learned that the government would allow people to steal from me, other people kept stealing from me. And the whole outrage of this corruption of the government is that I was accused of a crime, beaten up by the FBI, tortured, yet I was never allowed the right to a jury trial upon my demand.
I don't know anything about this case. I don't know if this is the right venue for it, Joe, because we are talking about Zionism today. But if you want to email me something
Part of it deals with Zionism.
Why don't we get to that, and maybe Eustace can treat it then.
Okay. You see, what I was explaining was that there's a lot of anti-Semitism, but there's also Jewish people who are racist against Jewish people or hateful against Jewish people. And I got pitted by a United States judge. His name is Bernard Friedman, and he believes that he acts just like a Nazi, that he can do anything he wants. Now, the horror of these people who are taking money and stealing art and giving it to people who take it to Israel is an outrage. I mean, who has the right to steal my art from me and to do whatever they want with it? It just doesn't make sense.
You know what I want to do? Why don't you send me an email at iamthewitness@hotmail.com, and we'll maybe put together a show together after I've been able to research this. Could we do that together, Joe?
I would prefer if I could call you back another time and have a phone interview so we could plan a show. Is there another time I can call
you? Yeah, why don't you email me with the details at iamthewitness@hotmail.com, please.
I am...
TheWitness@Hotmail.com.
TheWitness@Hotmail?
Yeah, Hotmail.com. Thank you very much, and I will treat that judicial question with Eustace in a minute. Thanks, Joe, for your call, and I look forward to your email. Eustace, I want to go to you on the judicial system and how it has been bought and paid for and corrupted. You know, this is one example, but I know of many, many examples where, you know, we've got 3% Jewish community in the country, but we've got 50% and 60% representation in all of the organs of power in the country from this same group. How do you explain that other than it's a conspiracy?
Well, it's not a conspiracy. It's simply buying votes. They have bought every official that they've ever contributed money to. And I know very well about this man manufacturing, the FBI manufacturing a case, because I've been in court every day for the last 2 weeks. They're definitely trying to put me in prison. And the reason is that I live here in Stanton, Virginia, which is the birthplace of Woodrow Wilson, and the state of Virginia is entirely run by Wilsonian Democrats. And my driving license expired about 3 years ago, and the Department of Motor Vehicles has refused to renew my license. and now they're arresting me and fining me. I paid $116 last week for having no driver's license, which they refused to give me for 3 years, although I've had daily visits there.
Why would they refuse to give you a license, Eustace?
Well, they stall me. They just don't come through with it. They say, well, you've got to do something else. They give me a physical examination by my doctor. Now I'm told to get a learner's permit. I've been driving for 72 years without incident. And they tell me I have to go through a three-year period of rehabilitation because my driver's license is expired.
Well, you know, the bottom line is, they hold control over our judicial system, don't they?
Oh, they do indeed, and they hold a control over our licenses. You see, they don't give you a certificate of title. They give you a title certificate, and they hold the title to your automobile, and because the state holds that title, they can require you to have a driving license to operate their vehicle.
And so if you never got the certificate of title, how would you get it without that? There are procedures that can give you full title over your vehicle, aren't there?
Oh, there are, but it's a very involved procedure. And what the states have done, they've made a shortcut. They'll give you a certificate of title, but the state actually holds your title. You cannot get your title. And because of that, they can run the driving license scam over the United States.
Well, you're right, and I do understand that is one of the scams that has been perpetrated across the nation. We've got another caller from Arizona. Mike, you're on the air with Eustace Mullins.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Eustace, I have a couple questions. If you had to name one name, family name, that is largely responsible for the world order movement, would it be Rothschild, Oppenheimer, or some other name that I'm...
Oh, it would be the House of Rothschilds. You see, I did a radio show a few days ago, and which I said during this show that Americans do not understand that Nazism, fascism, communism, Zionism, and Reform Judaism are all the same thing.
Mm.
There is absolutely no difference between those so-called ideologies.
Yeah, I understand your point. The other question I had, how far back does the link between the House of Rothschild and the World Order movement go where do they become wedded to Freemasonry?
Oh, it goes back 5,000 years. Freemasonry and Zionism and communism and so forth, they're simply historical aspects of the world situation.
Yeah, but I mean, I think more to the point, Eustace, when did they take a firm control over the Scottish Rite and some of the others? And when did the House of Rothschild make that particular control? Because Rothschild was given birth to back in the 1740s, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. See, they financed the attack on the American patriots, and they rented the Rothschilds arranged for George III to rent the Hessian mercenaries from Germany to attack the American colonists, and with the money from that, the Rothschilds built their world fortune.
Now, I also know that the sans-culottes, meaning the fighters against the French crown, were actually paid for through Rothschild. And,
oh, absolutely. The Jacobins were all financed by the Rothschilds.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I think Hitler referred to Jewish Freemasonry.
Oh, yes. Well, that's all it ever has been, is Freemasonry is an extension of the Jewish religion.
Okay, so you think that's a fair term, huh?
Yeah, I think he does. And when we return, hang with us, Mike. We got more time with you.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, stick with us. We've got lots more to come on The French Connection and Eustace Mullins. Back, ladies and gentlemen. Daryl Bradford Smith, your host today. We have another 40 minutes of great talk radio ahead of us here, and we have Mike on the line from Arizona, as well as Eustace Mullins, my guest. I want to maybe shift this to Mike, and maybe you have a question for Eustace about this. Three times they tried to launch a bank in the United States, and twice it was defeated after a 20-year stint. And the Rothschilds finally were able to get ensconced into our banking system in 1913. Of course, that has been the source of their control over the nation since. And they control France in the same way, and the European Union, as well as the Bank of England.
Yes, the Bank of France, the Bank of Italy, the Deutsche Bank, you name it. It's all there.
Well, that's right. And here's the thing. Their system right now is being exposed. I mean, I've been fighting against this Federal Reserve crime for a long time. More and more Americans are understanding that it is a criminal-run organization held by 13 small groups. Now, Mike, maybe you have a question about the Federal Reserve, because I know that you've looked into all of these different subjects. Do you have something to add to that?
Well, I just have some curiosity about it at this point. I wonder how much, you know, the typical congressman has, how much knowledge, our congressmen have about the power structure. I know they probably get calls bludgeoning them from their party leadership and say, we need you on this bill or that bill. But I wonder how much they really know about where their marching orders are ultimately coming from. And I also wonder, you know, how much do the Orientals know, the Chinese and the Japanese, how much do they know about the power structure that really runs roughshod over Europe and America?
Eustace, you have a response to that one?
I have no response because I didn't hear one word of it. We not have a bad connection.
Oh.
Well, what he said is he wanted to know how much our Congress really understands about this power structure and how much the Asian community, the Japanese and Chinese, understand about the Rothschild control over the planet.
Well, the Chinese have always had designers in there. I've lectured in Japan for the last 5 years, and the Japanese are absolutely fascinated by the whole Rothschild-Rockefeller story. They're well-versed in it. They're very alert and very attentive. I lecture over there, and they're the most attentive audience I've had.
Well, here's the thing. The Federal Reserve, getting rid of it is the real first major step of taking the country back, isn't it, Eustace?
Oh, it is indeed, because that is why Charles Lindbergh Sr. Risked his entire career and was driven out of Congress because he opposed the passage of the Federal Reserve Act.
Well, but he also got swept up in supporting Nazism as well, though, didn't he?
Oh, that's his son, the aviator. I'm talking about Charles Augustus Lindbergh Sr., who was the father of the inland, and I never heard anything about Lindbergh himself, the aviator, doing anything politically. I don't know if he ever did anything politically. I don't know how he supported Nazism. When the House of Rothschild set up Nazism in Germany in 1923 by allying the Nazi Party and the World Zionist Organization into the same organization.
And now they financed, didn't they? Finance the rise of Hitler, and was not Hitler somehow blood related to one element within the Rothschild fortune?
Well, there's stories about that, but you see, the rise of Nazism was not financed by anyone except Max Oppenheimer and Max Warburg of the Warburg family. Oppenheimer and Warburg financed Hitler's entire rise to power with the Nazi movement. And both companies, the Max Oppenheimer Company and the Max Warburg Company, are very active today in Germany.
And they are the same people putting Mr. Zundel on trial, aren't they? They're
indeed. He's their enemy, and they put him on trial, and they're out for his blood. And David Irving is the same way. Another friend of mine is on trial in Germany for the same thing, for inciting hatred. Now, these people know all about inciting hatred because they've been inciting it for 5,000 years.
How did the Rothschilds go back 5,000 years? Who was in power before the Red Shield Bauer family took over the Rothschild name? Who was in charge before them?
Well, at that time it was a bunch of you had the Medici's in Florence, Italy. This and families all through the Middle Ages have been very active in the banking movement.
Now this is the people with the Templars. Am I correct?
Yes, the Knight Templars. They were very prominent in that because the Knight Templars could move gold from one country to another. They had enough power to do that.
Okay. Now is gold still the secret controlling money in the world? Gold?
No. It's It's called a repository of value, and it is still a controlling mechanism simply because of its repository of value.
But fiat currencies are just smoke and mirrors.
Oh, yeah. The paper currency is just that. It's paper. And you can only do so much with paper. And finally, they had to, in 1944, they removed the last gold backing from the United States dollar, and we had a completely paper dollar, which was supported only by being issued against paper bonds. And that's where you get the interest on the money, is through the paper bonds.
There you go. And that's how they've been puffing up their finances since.
Well, when they got paper money supported by paper bonds, you see, the printing presses could run all day and all night. And we have flooded the entire world with this worthless paper money. And there's going to be a referendum now on that any day now.
You think we're going to have a day of reckoning with this?
There has to be, because we have flooded the whole world with this fiat currency, and sooner or later somebody's got to settle up for it.
Well, we got Renee in North Carolina calling in there. Renee, you have a question from Eustace Mullins.
Hi. The thing is, you know, I think sometimes with these so-called these enemies that are like kind of so far off and unreachable, like the Rothschilds or the Israelis or whatever. The thing is, we have people in this country that have been given the responsibility to help us with those things, and they have failed and sold us out. We need to take care of them first. To me, none of this could go on without the lawyers. They are the ones that have written the laws with the loopholes for themselves, helped people hide their money and all these little the way they do with all these little trusts and corporations and stuff. They're the ones that facilitated this. And to me, they are the ones that we should hold accountable first.
Well, what do you think of that, Eustace?
Well, that's absolutely true. But you see, Thomas Jefferson warned us in 1800 that the real threat to our liberties was the judiciary. And since then, the Supreme Court has been ruling against the American people for years.
Yeah, and that's why I like Howard Zinn's book, The People's History of the United States, because what we're taught in school is pretty much the elite's view of history, and they don't tell how much the government has, the people have had to struggle against the government. Howard Zinn, in his book, straightens that out a lot.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we return, we're going to get into some several other subjects with Eustace Mullins. You're welcome to stick around, Renee, if you'd like. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a powerful interview going here, and I really need you to stick with us so that we can plumb new depths in this conspiracy. We are back with a vengeance today. Great guest, Eustace Mullins, with us. Renee, do you have a second question for Eustace?
Well, I just have this one thing I want to share. It's for free, and let's face it, on the net, and anybody who's listening to this show probably has access to the net, because I think it is very telling, and it's free. There was a law professor, I think it was around 1939, a Yale law professor, who was not a traitor. His name was Fred Rodel, and he wrote something called Woe Unto You Lawyers. And I think it would benefit people. It's about 70-something pages. And he calls the law a racket, and he calls them stuff like witch doctors. And if people can't call this like a conspiracy theory or wackos, he taught law at Yale for over 40 years. And it's free on the net, and it's Fred Rodel, R-O-D-E-L-L. If a lot more people saw this and read this, I think they would realize how they're being scammed. And like I said, there are bad people out there, but if the people who are allowing this and colluding with them are the very people who claim they're supposed to be protecting us from this sort of thing, and they are not. They're the real traitors, and we need to nail them first. And I'm like you, Daryl. You know, you say you are the witness because you want to be there.
Yeah.
I want a seat, okay? There's another famous quote by this guy, Lasky, who says, in times of revolution, lawyers lead the way to the guillotine and the firing squad. Daryl, I want a seat next to you.
Okay, well, I'm going to save you one. I'll keep it warm, Renee.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call. Eustace, I want to go back to you on the Israeli... Hello?
Oh, hello.
Yeah. Eustace, I want to go back to you on a question of now. We're in a situation right now where these people are running scared. They've chosen this absolute dribbling fool as their leader in the United States, and I think what has happened, that has backfired also, because George Bush is probably single-handedly the most responsible person for people running to the truth. This guy has backfired on them. I mean, they did want a malleable imbecile to lead the country, but the more people have come to listening to these broadcasts as a result of George Bush than anything I could have hoped for.
Oh, that's absolutely true, and that's why the Democratic Party did everything they could to unseat him in 2004 with the goofball Kerry. But Bush created that whole situation of 2004. The election of 2004 was intended to unseat Bush. That's why George Soros, the Rothschild currency manipulator for the entire House of Rothschild, spent millions of dollars to defeat George Bush in 2004.
So is there a battle going on between these criminal leaders right now?
Oh, there's always a battle between criminal leaders. The mafia has to assassinate each other occasionally, and nobody's ever happy with anybody, so you just have to watch yourself all the time.
Well, do you think Rothschild is behind George Bush or against him at this point?
Oh, he's absolutely for him. The Bush family has worked for him. You see, the Bushes were nobodies, but they became money managers for the Harriman interests, and the Harriman interests were created by Rothschild, the Union Pacific Railroad. That was entirely financed by Rockefeller's National City Bank in Wall Street.
And so the Prescott Bush and going back to that area. Now what is the there's a lot of stuff, speculation about the occult and everything. I don't find that to be very credible. I think it's more about power and deception than it is occult.
Well, the occult is more disinformation than anything else. There's very little occult going on because the people in power are very practical, down-to-earth people. They're out for all the money and power they can get and all the control they can get, all the slavery they can get. But they are not occult people themselves.
I agree with that. And is also this malarkey about alien stuff, that's also to mix in with our truth so that they can discredit us, isn't it?
Oh, the UFO stuff, yes. I've never seen a UFO, but if somebody wants to take me for a ride on one, I'll go.
Well, you know, I've been coming out against these UFO cornballs because fact is what they're doing is they're causing me to have people mix my message in with their stupid stuff and making me seem like an imbecile, and I don't want them even putting my information on their websites.
Well, I grew up during the 50s at the height of the UFO publicity, and I never saw a UFO. This very, where I'm sitting right now, UFOs were supposed to be landing in this whole area. Nobody ever saw any of them.
Yeah, and the point I'm trying to make here is that they have worked very hard at trying to confuse and lead us down these ridiculous false paths. Now, how did they get the entire Jewish community behind them? Did they do it through fear, or did they do it through lies to them? I mean, what are they doing? Are they, when they breaking bread at their Seder, telling them falsehoods, or what?
No, they didn't. They didn't do it through fear or bribery or anything else. As you say, the Jewish people have been a rogue people for many centuries, and they'll go with any crowd that comes along. I mean, you name it, they're your man.
Really?
Uh-huh. I mean, I'm not condemning Jewish people. I'm not anti-Semitic, but I'm just saying that they've always been there when somebody wanted them.
Well, where in the world are they having their biggest trouble controlling? Is Russia giving them a lot of problems?
Oh, no, they've destroyed Russia. Russia has no government whatsoever. They own everything in Russia. The Zionists are totally in power in Russia. Communism was replaced by Zionism. That's why the United States went over from supporting communism to supporting Zionism, because they realized the wave of the future.
Where are they not in control right now? What area, what country, what places?
Well, Asia is still wide open. There's no telling which way China's going to go, because China is not communist and China is not Zionist. China is a world power with 1 billion people. They can throw their weight anywhere they want to.
And how about places, like Indonesia? I know that Malaysia fought back with Mahathir Mohamad, and he didn't go with them. He said, I'm not buying into your banking stuff, and we're not going to take IMF loans, and we're not going to sell our country out. And the fact is, Malaysia has stayed apart from them, haven't they?
Oh, yes. Well, the whole Muslim world has stayed apart from them. Now, that's the Zionist big problem, is the Muslim world. That's why they intended to wipe out the Middle East entirely. Every Arab government was to be wiped out through this new crusade of the battle between Christianity and the Muslims.
Now, the fact is, though, they do control Saudi Arabia, don't they?
Oh, of course they could. Control it through the money, because the Saudi Arabia, with all the billions they've made with their oil, they've had to put the money somewhere, so they put it all in the Swiss banks, which is completely controlled by Zion.
I think we just lost Eustace.
No, I'm still here.
I heard you get cut off for a second there.
Well, it's very possible.
Well, you know, here's the other thing, too. Now, how do we go forward and fight these people effectively, Eustace? Well, when we come back, I'll ask that question when we come back. We have a break coming up. I want to know what the game plan should be for us to really do battle with these guys. You've been pitching that battle for the longest time. Ladies and gentlemen, when we return, Eustace is going to give us a good game plan. And ladies and gentlemen, Daryl Bradford Smith back with you. We're going to get right back into our interview here with Eustace Mullins after I give you the details here. IamTheWitness.com is the website. Go there. We have all kinds of stuff. All of the past shows that you might want to listen to are more important ones are sitting there, as well as information on how to get Berkey filters and all kinds of articles from Eric Huffschmidt, my webmaster, as well as myself. Eustace, I want to know what we should do to really push these guys over the edge of the cliff, because I see them reeling right now. There are people coming out of the woodwork across our nation to fight them, and it looks like we're gaining some critical mass right now. How do we really get this stuff off and running?
Well, what is happening is the wheel is turning. The earth is rotating, and we're moving into position right now. It's not that we've actually done anything, but we fought the good fight, and now we're in a position to see the results. See, this is Christ appearing to us in this joyous season, and he's telling us it's time to break free of Israel, and you're going to see us break free from Israel in the next 2 years.
You think?
Oh, yes. You see, Israel has advertised itself to the world that it was our only ally in the Middle East, when in fact Israel was the only enemy we ever had in the Middle East, and still is. And so the American people are finally realizing that. Because
you're right,
it's quite obvious.
It is obvious. It's been obvious to me for a very long time.
It's obvious to everybody. We only have one enemy. We never had an enemy in communism. We never, and Zionism is our only enemy, and they're trying to destroy us. But they missed the boat. George Bush let them down, because when George Bush went into Iraq, he was supposed to knock them off overnight, like his father did in 1991, and George blew the whole deal.
Well, he's a dribbling fool, this man.
He certainly is. His own father told him, you cannot win in Iraq, which he already knew that.
Well, I got to tell you, what kind of stupidity would they be willing to commit to keep their power?
Well, they'll do anything to keep their power. These people are for sale. They've been for sale since the day they were born. They'll do anything for anybody at any time.
But, I mean, should we expect other attacks on our cities?
I don't think so. I think it's too late for that. 9/11 may have been their their last attempt. There hasn't been anything since.
But, I mean, why wouldn't they try something else?
Well, they would try something else if they had anything to gain from it, but the situation has gotten too crucial for them now. It won't make any difference. Half of this country firmly believes that Mossad created 9/11, so if they pull something else, they're going to think the same thing.
Ah. And now, how do we get critical mass where people actually do something? I can't get people to even, tune in large numbers. We get 10, 15, 20,000, but that's not 300 million in the public. I mean, there's 300 million people out there, Eustace. Where are they? Why aren't they listening? I've got 14 million people listening to alien abductions, but I've only got 20,000 listening to this broadcast.
Well, that's true of the history of the United States. You see, in 1775, 4% of the American people supported the American Revolution, and 96% were loyalist Tories, loyal to England. So you don't worry about small numbers, because you're never going to get big numbers. Critical mass comes from a small number of people.
Well, we are determined, I am determined, not to let these people beat us and take my children's future from them, and I want my justice. And I'll tell you something, I've called for the justice to be meted out like the Reign of Terror was meted out in France.
Well, that's the way it's going to happen. It's going to happen whether you want it or against it. It's still going to happen because it's inevitable. Justice has to work before the world can go on.
Well, I'm hoping that is the conclusion. And you say the next 2 years.
Oh, yes. And it's not wishful thinking, because I'm a historian and I've studied history for the last 60 years. And it happens every time. It comes through that way, because things get to a critical mass and then they just start turning around. That's what's going to happen.
And when do you see that actually happening? I mean,
within the next 18 months.
Ah.
And that's a promise.
Well, I think you're onto something there. And
I am onto something, because I live in Christ. And Christ manifests himself when you need him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening at the present time.
Well, and if the last thing I want to discuss here, do you see an implosion of the financial structure soon here?
Well, the implosion of the financial system is inevitable, because it's a paper shell. It's a house of cards. I mean, you tell me what's holding it up. I don't know.
Well, how do people hedge against that right now, if you were giving advice to them?
Well, they're hedging in what ways they can, and there are ways to hedge. And you simply, you see, real estate is still a good investment. The American dollar is gone. So you have to look around and see what is still worth something and what isn't, and pick something out.
So take actual things you can hold in your hand and nothing that's...
If you have your own business, that's the greatest thing in the world. I've had my own, my books were never published by anybody. I had to publish my own books since 1950. And I never intended to be a publisher. I was a literary writer. So I became a publisher. So you have to do whatever you do.
Well, is there a way people can get your publications?
I don't have a publication. I have a website, EustaceMullins.com.
And do you sell books?
Oh, yes, I sell books.
Well, then that's right. That's what I mean. Well, EustaceMullins.com.
It's on the website. Has everything right on there.
Well, I want to thank you, Eustace, for coming on the show, and I'm going to invite you back in a month or so if you're willing to come.
Well, I'll be around. I'm not going to be selling. I'm not going to be celebrating the holidays for the next 6 weeks.
Well, I thank you very much, sir, and I look forward to speaking to you once again on the radio.
Very good. I look forward to it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. And ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back. We are back. It's been a great show. Eustace Mullins is a remarkable resource, and he's just been speaking, mirroring the things that I've been talking about for weeks, months. I didn't bring him on to just confirm my stuff, because I don't really need that. I know I've been on to the truth for a long time here. The truth is how are we going to treat these people, and what are we going to do about the facts as we know them today, and how are we going to treat this criminal enterprise called Israel and the people controlling it from the banking structure around the world? What are we going to do today, ladies and gentlemen? Are we going to roll over and play dead, or are we going to fight back? Well, you know, I, for one, have had it with these people. I mean, I am absolutely fed up to the top of my head and the bottom of my toes from these criminals, and I want them out, and I want them paying the price. I want all of their assets confiscated so they could never do this again in the world. I want them all of the assets of all of these groups taken from them, at the point of a gun if we need to, at the barrel of a missile if it has to be done. The fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, these people are criminals. They have subjugated and destroyed our loving world and turned it into a pile of septic hatred. And the fact is, it's time that you and I join shoulder to shoulder and we battle back with every one of these criminals as voraciously as we can possibly do it. Now, there is no time to waste here. We've got to take them, and we've got to take them now. George Bush is nothing more than a sap, a homosexual, perverted, sick bag of pus. And he really is not the bad guy that we need to be concentrating on. It's the people behind him, these vomitous cretins that have been running the world. And don't think for a minute, please don't think all this cosmic malarkey. Stop going with that. The satanic nonsense. It's disinformation. Eustace told you it's disinformation. I'm telling you it is. Take a listen to the people who've been studying this stuff. This is just deception, ladies and gentlemen. The real thing is about power, control, and money, and opulence, and a single group controlling. You know, the rest of this stuff seems to be just a way to keep people, oh my God, the devil's going to come. It's malarkey. The way to control people. It's hooey. It's like the alien abduction hooey. Stop already. You know, we need to wrap our brains around the fact that these people are just drunk with power. And they have been for thousands of years. It's about power, control, and handing down these organs of power to their next generation, to their inbred offspring, to their sicko, giant earlobe for children, inbred sick offspring. And the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, we are now, for the first time in human history, spreading a word of truth that goes beyond the surface. We are digging out the criminals at their root, and we have a chance. Tomorrow, John Kaminsky, another gardener that digs out the bad guys at the root, John Kaminsky is going to be reporting to us from what's been happening in Tampa after Jimmy Walters' Truth-a-thon down there. Stick with me, ladies and gentlemen. More from Daryl Bradford Smith and the French Connection to come. Daryl Bradford Smith. See you tomorrow.